Everybody, I hope you're all doing amazing. I know that I haven't done a podcast in a while. If you've been following on any social media, you would know that it's been a bit of a crazy, chaotic time, just overall. So appreciate all of your patience and hanging in there. It's actually been a really fun time of like engaging with more clients, offering new programs, doing a whole bunch of like resetting the business type of stuff is what I'm going to say. And as I've noticed, when I tend to get stressed, I tend to lose my voice. And that's not good considering 99% of my stuff, I'm going to say 96% of my stuff, is revolved around me using my voice. Not amazing. But anyway, for this one, I'm just going to start off with three questions that I got from a client who finished up her Unfuck Yourself transformation program. And I completely forgot to record. She finished up about a month ago. When was this? Yeah, almost smack bang on a month ago. And she had three questions for me for when she finishes coaching or when I step away and she keeps doing everything. What does that sort of look like? And what do I do in the sense of these three questions that she had about the future? So I wrote them down. I just thought that they were really fun to answer and we ran through them on the call. So I'm going to give them to you right now. The three questions we're going to run through are, what should I do with my nutrition when I get my cycle back? Because she's a new mum and at the moment does not have her menstrual cycle that has obviously come back. So basically, what does she do with her nutrition when she gets her period back? What do I do to maintain the weight I lose? And how should I tackle the situation when I notice I'm sliding back into old habits? We spent 45 minutes running through this on the call. And obviously it's a lot easier and straightforward when I'm on the call with someone because I can just ask questions and say, does this apply to you? If not, then, there we go, getting a call. If not, then basically I just have to give a lot of general rule of thumb. So yeah, let's jump into this and start off with the first one of like, what should I do with my nutrition when I get my cycle back or when she gets her period back? The absolute bare root thing is what I like to do for my clients is have a plan A and a plan B. Plan A is going to be like deficit calories slash movement as per normal. That's going to be the overall most ideal thing that we can do in that moment for the goals that we have. If your goal is to lose weight, then deficit calories and movement as per normal. If your goal is to maintain, then do whatever the shit it is that you're doing at the moment to maintain. If that's intuitive eating, keep doing that. If it's tracking at maintenance, keep doing that. Whatever it is for your goals, that is exactly what we're going to stick to because that is the most ideal thing that we can do to hit the goals as efficiently and easy as possible. That's what we're looking for. Plan B is going to be basically like the backup plan or the shit hits the fan or the, oh my God, I can't do plan A because of insert reason here. Usually cravings or emotional responses or clients that I've had in the past that when they do get their period, it's either like PMDD or they get massive cramps that just completely floor them. And it's not the fact that they're not motivated. It's the fact that they're dealing with immense pain that they can't do the plan that they're on. Either appetite drops like all fuck. In that case, it's just eat whatever you can to get through, have some healthy foods when you can. But at that point, we're not worrying about, hey, try and hit your calories as best that you can and try to get some movement in where you can. Like, yes, but that's not the whole point of coaching and what we're trying to do. It is, if you are at that point where it is flooring you, it is kicking your ass and you cannot do anything, then it is do literally whatever you want to get through and get by. And when that pain comes in, we tend to want to lean into like more satiating foods or craving foods, I'm going to say. Things that are typically higher in fat and carbs and basically comfort foods. Because we're looking to self-soothe in that sense. And for me, that's completely fine. Like me as a coach, I should say, that's completely fine. Because we're not looking to do everything to maintain the weight loss here. We're looking to, hey, you feel like shit, so let's do this thing that is going to help you not feel like shit. Particularly if your appetite is down like all shit, then you get all of that food or the nutrients and calories coming in from something that, yes, it's not ultimately quote unquote healthy for you, but it's better than nothing. I would much rather someone go over their calories and have like a HSP during the day and they go, yep, I got through it, rather than just trying to get through and eating like 200-400 calories of crackers and biscuits and toast and shit to just go like, oh, well, it wasn't that bad. I'd much rather them have more nutrients come in so that the body can have that to digest and put it wherever it needs to go, to help us feel better. That's what I would prefer. So plan B is basically increase your calories by, for most people, it's normally about 500 back up towards maintenance. Most people are typically in a 500 calorie deficit that takes them from their maintenance down into that deficit. It's a general rule of thumb. You obviously may not be there if you're listening. You may not be there, but it is typically higher than you think. Most clients have a belief that if they eat any calories that starts with like a two, like 2000 or 2100, if as soon as it starts with a two, they have a massive freak out and they go, I can't eat anything more than that because the last couple of times I've eaten anything above my deficit calories, I put weight on extremely easily. No. It's not that you put weight on extremely easily, it's that you've been in a prolonged deficit and you're dehydrated as fuck. So when you go to your maintenance, yeah, the scale will spike. That doesn't mean that you're putting on fat or you're putting on muscle. It means that you are hydrating your organs, your muscle tissue, literally everything that helps you get through the day and where we pull energy from comes internally. When you eat towards maintenance, and if you've been dehydrated and in a deficit for a long period of time, you're going to be rehydrating your body. It's literally doing the things that go, hey, fantastic, there's oh my God, I had six analogies run through my head then and I nearly said them all at once and it would have been a goddamn nightmare. Whoa. Let me slow my brain down for a second. You'll be holding on to the weight because you're basically replenishing all the stores that you have. So it's going to be fluid retention more than anything. And understanding how it's fluid retention, why could it be fluid retention, and how the body is working in regards to that fluid retention and when it's going to be coming in, that is amazing for mental health, particularly relating to the scales and progress and adherence. Understanding how that is going to work, it is massive for my clients when they do understand it, because they jump on the scale and instead of going, oh my God, I'm up 1 kilo from 2 days ago, what did I do wrong? They jump on and go, oh, I'm up 1 kilo in 2 days. Okay. Must just be fluid, must just be this, must just be the type of food. And it doesn't hit them as hard anymore. That scale anxiety goes away, or the guilt of like, oh, I've fucked up, or that perfectionism of like, the weight is going down and then down and then down, and then it goes up a little bit and it's like, oh my God, the world is ending because I did the exact same stuff, but maybe I didn't track something right, I completely fucked up. No, the scales are gonna fluctuate. It's normal for them to go up. I have a client whose weight just consistently goes down on a linear progression. I go, okay, something may be a bit wrong here. But for the clients where it goes down and then up and it looks like the goddamn Rocky Mountains, that's where I know that we're on a healthy weight loss journey, because they're either having the foods that they enjoy, they're spiking the scales every so often, but it's also getting them to understand how jumping on the scales means absolutely fuck all. That if it goes up by a kilo, it doesn't mean anything. Thank you for all the likes on TikTok. If they're jumping on the scales and it goes up by a kilo, it takes that guilt, that pain, that association, that failure, it takes it all away. Maybe not immediately, because yeah, they're going to spike and, sorry, they are going to have an emotional response. And particularly with diets and coaches and trainers and things that they've done in the past where it's like, oh, you didn't lose weight this week. Maybe let's try a little bit harder. You know, maybe jump in for an extra session or an extra class here and there. You were doing so well a couple of weeks ago. It's like, they're still doing really well. There's maybe just other shit that's come up in their life where it has to be the priority over weight loss. And that's called living. That's called being a goddamn human. It's not always going to be, I have to prioritize weight loss at all times, because that's just fucking stupid. If that were what life was about, there would be a lot that we'd be walking around. People would die a lot earlier, basically. We would be absolute twigs and nothing of humans because we would be trying to lose weight so consistently. At some point in everyone's life, there has to come like a building phase. There has to come a healthy habits phase. There has to come a mental health phase. There's all of these things that tie into learning something from something. Even clients that go through the most horrendous fucking things in the world, they still learn something from that. If it's a negative experience, we can still take it away and go, well, at least I know not to do that anymore. Or if this is coming up, then at least I know where it's coming from and what I can do about it. Maybe you learn how to track calories, even though it was a 1200 calorie meal plan. It's a fucking awful way to do it, but at least you learned how to track calories so that when the client comes to me and they've tried 8, 9, 10, 11, 38 different things and they feel completely hopeless and defeated and like there's no point in even trying because they've done so many different things in the past, they come to me and I go, yeah, all of them did quote unquote fail. There's normally like one or two in there that did okay for the person, but they just didn't, I suppose, quote unquote, stick to it for whatever reason that it could be. That's not me saying that. That's their words to be like, this worked really well for like 6 months or 12 months and I really committed to it. Usually it's a massive lifestyle change that derails them. And what you knew in your 20s, for example, is probably going to be useful knowledge, but not how you would execute it the same as in your 30s. So the knowledge is still going to be roughly the same. Obviously, science changes and evolves and we get better understandings of things, but the knowledge as to how does this work is going to be roughly the same in your 20s as it is in your 30s. The difference is going to be your lifestyle 20s versus 30s is going to be completely different. And that's what we have to understand. The things that you knew in your 20s are still applicable. However, we have to figure out how to execute them with the new lifestyle that you have, new responsibilities that you have, and the new quote unquote person that you are at the moment. The knowledge is still applicable, but how do we apply it? And that's what we're trying to get into. So that was a massive side rant for that one, but you can eat a lot more food than you think. So to get us back on track from that rant, what should I do with my nutrition when I get my cycle back or when I get my period back? You basically just judge what you can do or should do on how you feel on a daily basis. If you're feeling good but just a bit more tired, then do plan A. Do the ideal thing that you can do to keep hitting your goals. If you're feeling flawed, lethargic, completely out of it, then do plan B and do the opposite of go back towards maintenance, be mindful with your food, but if you're feeling like crap, just get through it. If you can continue to track, eat towards your maintenance, which whatever you are on the moment, general rule of thumb, add 500 calories to it, and that's going to be your daily target for a rough maintenance. I obviously don't know, but that's typically what people are at. And if you do gain weight during that period where you bump up towards your maintenance, it is not fat. It is just your body rehydrating and feeling good and giving it the energy it needs to get through. Particularly if you are feeling crap and you're flawed and you're cramping and you're in pain and you're emotional and the cravings are going and you've got hormone fluctuations, it's probably better to have enough nutrients and fuel coming in so you can manage and handle that a lot better than if you weren't eating or trying to stick to your deficit calories. It's just overall healthier. It's going to make it a lot easier to get through as well. So have a plan A and have a plan B. Judge that on how you feel on a daily basis, and you make your decision on what you can stick to. Second question, what do I do to maintain the weight I lose? I have like a small snippet that I wrote to her, is, and this is specifically for her, but I'm just going to say it out loud so that you have it as well. Increase calories by 20% and see what happens to the scales and how you feel. If the weight is still going down and you're aiming to get out of the deficit, increase calories by 10%. Rinse and repeat until you're out of the deficit and maintaining weight. Then slowly start to move away from tracking calories. Be mindful with food. Weigh in every so often just to see how you're going, but base your decisions on how you feel within yourself and your habits. It's relatively similar to what I said for what does she do with her nutrition when she gets her period back, is judge it based on how you feel as opposed to what is happening. If you want to slowly get away from tracking calories, the best thing that I do for my clients and how I teach them to not need me or need calorie tracking long term is take a Tuesday or a Wednesday, because they're typically the most structured day for people's lives. They either meal prep for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday is sort of like getting towards the end of the week and they go, do I really want to stick to it? Or the food in the fridge wasn't that good yesterday. Whatever it is, whatever day for you is most planned, take that day off from tracking. Just food. Do whatever you're normally doing, but just don't put it into MyFitnessPal or whatever calorie tracking app you're using, and just do the exact same thing. See how you feel without tracking the calories. Do that the week after and the week after, and the better that you feel with not tracking, take another day away. So take like the Tuesday off. Now you're taking Tuesday, Wednesday off from tracking. Do the exact same things you would do, but just don't track it Tuesday, Wednesday. Now comes the fun part of, if you feel good with that, take a Saturday off from tracking, because that is where temptation is the highest. And that is where most people go, oh, I'm really good, but then on the weekends, I tend to fuck up. No, you don't fuck up on the weekends. You just don't plan for it. And it is crazy the amount of people that when I say, for example, they come to me and they've got quote unquote weekend warrior mentality, where it's Monday through Friday, super planned, all the classes, all the things, and then on the weekend they go, eh, fuck it, and they just do whatever. They're still trying to be mindful of food every so often, but they always go over their calories and end up not doing much. The number one surefire way that we fix this for almost every single person is plan what you do on the weekend. You don't have to know exactly where you're going, but have lunch available. Have dinner ready. Like, just know what you're doing. So then it's not, oh, I've got to go to the shops, and then I've got to buy this, and then I'm going to have to get home and cook it, and I've got to do all this stuff. Just have it planned. Go shopping on a Thursday night or a Friday night or, fuck, even Saturday morning, and then just go, okay, I'm just buying food for, if you want, for the whole week, do that. But otherwise, you can just go, I'm buying food for this weekend, and maybe I'll just prep Monday as well. Two plannings through the week can help out heaps. Buy food and prep yourself Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then do the exact same thing for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Your body doesn't know it's a weekend. Your brain does because of the habits that you've got. But that's it. If you can let yourself know that it's okay to plan for the weekends, you're not even locked into that. You can use that food for later. If you feel like getting a pizza, get a pizza. But you don't have to almost feel forced into doing it because you're so tired and run down from the week, and then go, well, I can't be fucked doing it, I'll just get a pizza. And then if you do go to cook something and you cook it, you're so tired and you can't be fucked that you make it not as tasty as it could be because you're just racing to finish the cooking so that you can sit down and do nothing. And that's typically where we like Uber eat some dessert or have some more toast and have some more stuff to the point where you've consumed even more calories. You're probably just better off getting the pizza in the first place. So that's how to slowly get away from tracking, is to take a day off from tracking and learn to slowly understand what type of food feels good, what is the amount of food that you need. So, oh my God, what types of food, how much food, when do you typically eat, and also when is going to be the best time to have that food. You can also plan some snacks. You don't have to track things, but you can just have those habits of, I eat at this time and I roughly have about this much food. That's maintenance. The other thing you can do is track your calories and go back towards maintenance calories so you know how much you can have and do. If you don't want to track your calories but get back into intuitive eating, then I would advise, look at me go being fucking professional. I would recommend or advise, whichever one, if you're feeling fancy, take that day off Tuesday or Wednesday, then add another one, then add one on the weekend, and you just slowly keep doing that until eventually you're not tracking anymore. If you want to, you can weigh in every so often, because you will feel good when you have the right amount of food coming in. But if you have more food coming in, you'll still feel good, but clothes will start to get a little bit tighter. Maybe you'll start to notice that you're getting a bit more huffy and puffy. Maybe you just won't feel as confident in yourself. There's going to be a lot of other ways other than just the scales that you're going to be able to notice if you're in too much of a calorie surplus and putting weight on. And one, you can do that just by weighing in every so often if you want to do that. Two, you've got clothes. Three, you've got measurements. Four, you've got, oh my God, okay, what are my habits? Why am I feeling crap? Why do I always feel like I need like something at 3 p.m.? Why am I waking up tired? When you start to notice those things are like your quality of life, then it's basically a habit check. It's not about, oh, am I eating the right things or doing wrong? It's just a habit check. Okay, well, everything through the day is awesome, but I've started having a massive dessert, and I've had that at night. As it just so happens, my sleep's been a little bit bad. Maybe if I decrease that a bit or got rid of it or changed it for what it could be, well, changed it to be something else, then amazing. We're just looking at the habits. That's really what we're looking at. What are your habits and behaviors, I suppose, during coaching, but then also after coaching as well, for how do you maintain the weight that you lose? You just keep literally doing exactly what you're doing, but you can have more food. You go back towards maintenance and just figure out what is going to be best for you. For most people, I simplify it by going add 20%, because I know some people will be like, how do I get towards maintenance and how do I add calories in? Whatever you are currently tracking, increase your calories by 20%. Just do that for 2 weeks. See how you feel. The scales, every time you adjust like to increase the calories, the scales will jump a little bit, but then they'll typically come down. And then across that 2 week period, you'll see them level out and plateau. And that's where you'll pick up the trend and the pattern for what is happening with these numbers. If the weight is still going down and you're wanting to get towards maintenance, bump the calories by another 10%. Do the exact same thing. Check in with the scales. Okay, they're still going down. They've spiked again, but they're still trending and going down. Okay, I'm going to bump the calories by another 10%. And you just literally rinse and repeat that to get towards, okay, I'm maintaining the same sort of weight. If I just use a random number of like 80 kilos, you will never maintain 80 kilos spot on. You will fluctuate between like 78 and 82, but you will typically come to rest around 79.5 to 80.5. You will be within 1 kilo of whatever your maintenance weight is. And you'll fluctuate that often because you'll have weeks where you're either completely distracted or busy at work, or you just didn't plan, so you skipped a couple meals, or it's just been super stressful to the point of, I haven't been hungry or eating as much. It could be the exact opposite, where it's been completely stressful and that's why you've been eating more. And the fluid retention is up again. So there's a lot of factors that come into what is the weight that we're doing, but it's all going to come back down to, how do I feel? If you're starting to feel like shit, check your habits and behaviors. What's been going on? Well, I've been eating a bit more. I haven't been tracking as much. Or it's just, I feel like crap, so I want to make that small change. Okay, well, what's changed from when you were feeling good to when you were feeling right now? Okay, well, when I was feeling good and the difference between now and I'm not feeling amazing, it was the dessert. Or I've started being on my phone a lot more before bed. I've started scrolling too much on TikTok. I've started using too much screen time. Whatever it could possibly be, it'll be, I feel XYZ, and what has changed between how I'm feeling now in the negative to when I was feeling positive? What could I do now to get myself to feel more positive? That's really the goal and what we're looking for. So how do you maintain weight? We just slowly increase and add things to your life that you enjoy, and we just slowly do that over time, and you get away from tracking by doing that, by just taking those days away. The third and final question was, how should I tackle the situation when I notice I'm sliding back into old habits? This is going to be almost like a repeat of what I just said. The small little snippet that I sent her was, make it aware that you're sliding into unhealthy habits. Make it unappealing. Tell yourself why continuing this habit isn't healthy and how it affects you, basically how it makes you feel. You can also put a time delay on doing the habit. Like, for example, yes, I can do that, but I'll do it in 20 or 30 minutes. The reason that we do that and put the time delay on it is because we want the logical side of your brain to come in, and it takes time for the logical side of the brain to come in and access. The emotional side of the brain is snap decisions and that's it. When you hear something, you'll feel something. When you smell something, you'll likely feel something or think of something. And like, yes, it is learned behaviors, but the emotional side of the brain just goes, oh my God, that person made me feel like shit. I need a pizza. I need whatever it is that you typically use to self-soothe and emotionally regulate. That's the emotional side of the brain that just goes bang, bang, bang. Okay, I'm doing this unconscious habit. Oh my God, I'm halfway through the pizza. Why the fuck did I do that? Because that's where we've now emotionally regulated. We're somewhat self-soothing, and the logical brain comes in and we go, oh my God, it's like we wake up and we go, why am I doing this? What is happening? How, like, I just can't stop sometimes. It's like, okay, do the exact same thing that you want to do. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying to completely get rid of chocolate. I'm not saying to completely get rid of all snacks and just do this. You've likely done that many times and it hasn't worked many times. Do the exact same thing you want to do, but do it in 30 minutes. If you still want to do it in 30 minutes, then go for it. Because usually by then you've either gone, okay, instead of a large pizza, I'll just get a small. Or yes, I want to do it because things are fucked. Then it's like, okay, 100% justified, go for it. It's a decent reason. Let's just help you feel better. Let's just get through the day and we'll focus on tomorrow. You can also be curious with it for when you start to slip back into old habits. What's it like if I don't lean into my craving? Do I actually need it? You can ask those questions. And you can also ask what you're hoping to achieve from the unhealthy habit and how you can get that same feeling from something else. For example, when I typically get stressed, and this hasn't happened, actually, I'm about nearly lied to you. This was me a month ago. Basically, the reason why I haven't recorded any podcasts in a while or done heaps of content in a while. Super stressful, life's been lifing. And I noticed an old habit from years and years and years ago started to come in. Basically, knockoff drinks. And when I would finish work for the day, it would be like, yep, sweet, I'm going to have a drink, rum and whatever. And that's going to be my thing that will relax me. I 100% knew that I was wanting that relaxation and that almost decompression from that drink. And I did the exact same thing. I'm like, right, well, I'm going to have that, but I'll have it at 4 o'clock. And it got to 4 o'clock or 5 or 6 or 7, or sometimes I finish at like 9 o'clock. But if I finish at 9, obviously I'm not having a drink because I have to talk to clients. But if I finished 4, 5, 6 o'clock or like normal times, like after a sort of 10, 12 hour day, then I'd be like, okay, cool. I'm going to have that drink, but I'm going to have it at 30 minutes from now, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Then I noticed that it would sort of get to that time and I'd go, I'll have it after dinner. Like I pushed it back again. Be like, well, I don't really need it now. I'll just have some water instead and I'll have it after dinner. Because I'm not saying I'm not having it. I'm going to say I am having it, but it's going to be better to have it with dinner so I can sit down and then I'm eating and then it's a whole thing. Then it gets to dinner and I go, well, I don't exactly need it. It slowly starts getting out of my habit and I'm slowly breaking it. It gets to a Friday where I typically have a drink on a Friday night and play video games with friends. That's, you know, every so often. And then on the Friday night, I was craving that drink like, oh shit, like really wanted it. It was the only thing I wanted to do. And I had this conversation with myself for like 5 minutes of, I wonder what it's like if I don't lean into it. Because right now I really want it. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to go play that game, but I'm just not going to have that drink. If I really want it, I'll come back out and grab it. But I'm just going to start playing and see what happens. Ended up completely forgetting about it. Because I knew that I wanted that decompression and that relaxation. Turns out, when I jump into the game with my friends and I start talking to them, I disconnect from the world. I don't think as much. And I'm only focusing on the game. And I'm just focusing on literally what is in front of me. I'm disconnecting. I'm feeling, depending on what game I'm playing, less stressed. But everything just sort of falls away. So I didn't need a drink to do that. I got that from the video game. But because both of them were my sort of like comfort thing that I would do, my learned behavior, it was, I'm going to have a drink and play a video game. And now it's that habit is gone again because I go, oh, I didn't need it. There was massive cravings and I really wanted to do it, but I pushed it back. Turns out didn't need it. And now it's at the point where, oh, that's right. I don't need that. Like, what's the point? What's it going to give me? Because I know I can get whatever that drink is going to give me. I know I can get that from something else. I can get that by going outside and playing with the dogs. I can get that by going on a walk. I can get that by disconnecting or turning my phone off or doing this or doing that. There's heaps of things that I can do that are different that give me a similar feeling. And they're healthier and quote unquote feel more productive. So that's how I got away from slipping back into that bad habit. The first thing is awareness. You have to be aware of it. You have to create that awareness. And it's not just, oh, I'm doing this bad habit again. That sucks. But at least I'm aware of it. You have to bring the awareness to go, oh, I'm doing this bad habit. Why is this bad? Why is this good? Why am I doing this? And awareness is the first step. So first off, no matter how you're getting that awareness in, amazing. We love that. But try not to full stop yourself and just basically cut yourself off and go, I'm doing this bad thing. Huh. Anyway, and just move on. If you don't like that thing in your life, then it wouldn't be a bad thing. If you don't want it in your life, you're obviously calling it a bad thing. So I'm willing to bet there's some association with this isn't healthy or I shouldn't be doing this. Either one, shift the perspective on it so that you can feel better with it. Find different answers or reasons or ask yourself better questions for why am I doing this? And then that's the exact same thing as getting away from it. Ask questions. Is it unappealing? Why is it unappealing? Well, it's unhealthy and it's going to ruin my sleep and it's going to do this. Okay, well, then how do we not do that? There is a massive fly in my goddamn room. Every time I start recording, a fucking fly that got crossbred with a horse just lands on my goddamn, oh my God, my windowsill. And it's like it knows that I have X amount of followers. So it's just like, I'm going to get famous. Hey, Bill, fucking check this out. Slaps me in the face on the way through. I freak out and scream like a little woman. They've got a plan. They're organized. I know they are. Stupid organized things. But anyway. Whoa. Nearly went up my nose. Go away. Anyway, I really just should pause the podcast. But hey, what's the point in that? You get to see the actual fun part of it. So those are the three questions. What should I do with my nutrition when I get my period back? Have a plan A and a plan B. Plan A is ideal things that you can do to hit your goals. Plan B is how do I pause this for a second and do things that get me by and just basically help me feel better. What do I do to maintain the weight I lose? Increase calories by 20%, see what happens on the scales and see how you feel. If the weight keeps going down, bump up by another 10%, rinse and repeat. And again, just do things that feel good. If you want to get away from tracking calories, take a day off, do the exact same things and routines and schedules, but just don't track it for one day. When you feel confident with that and you feel comfortable and you can trust yourself and your decisions and how much food you're getting and just like the eating patterns and habits you have, take another day away. When that starts to feel good, take a day on the weekend off. You just keep doing that until eventually you're not tracking anymore. And how should I tackle the situation when I notice I'm sliding back into old habits? Make that old habit aware. Be aware that you are doing it, because awareness is going to be the key for literally fucking everything. If you want a new job, you make it aware that you don't like your current job. You make it aware that there are other opportunities out there. Awareness is going to be the thing that sparks literally everything. And it is the first step for what we want. It's why a lot of people come to me and they go, I want to lose weight. And I feel stuck and I don't know why I feel so stuck. And 40 minutes into a call, or I suppose just after the call, they have so much goddamn clarity on what they want to do, how they're going to move forward, what is holding them back, and also why it's holding them back and how to move through that. And it just takes 40 minutes, 30 minutes of asking the right questions to then go, hey, here's the awareness of what's actually going on and what's really holding you and preventing you from getting there. Because here's 1,000 other clients that I've worked with that have done the exact same thing and felt defeated, hopeless, frustrated, worthless, like all the things that clients come to me with. And they're talking to themselves in such negative ways. They feel like they're alone. We have an entire client community that feels the exact same way. And if they've had a call with me, gone, oh my God, I'm not the only one. It's like, no, there's thousands, there's millions of people in the world that feel the exact same as you. But we don't want to burden other people with our problems. And that's why we feel alone, because it feels like we can't share them because we don't want to be a burden on other people. Particularly the amount of people that I work with that are all or nothing perfectionism people pleasers. Why would you share your problems? Because then you're just becoming a burden for other people and you're not helping their life. But then it begs the question, what if that person really loves helping people like me? Tell me your problems. Let me know how I can help. I will absolutely do that because I am a people pleaser as well. But I'm a people pleaser that has really solid boundaries. I'm just gonna asterisk that sentence that I just said. So that is it for this one. At the moment, I'm just gonna, whenever I have a podcast idea, I'm just gonna record it, do it. I don't know if it's gonna be weekly, fortnightly, monthly, whatever. I'm gonna do my absolute best to structure these and get back into it. So if you have a topic or questions or anything that you just want me to answer and chuck it into podcast form, message me and let me know. If you're on TikTok, I'd recommend messaging me on Instagram because that's where I'm more active and I give you more behind the scenes looks and just everything that's going on. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if you message me on TikTok either. I'm completely fine with all of that. But you'd be surprised how many people don't message me because they're like, oh, I don't want to have this as a thing. I either just help you there on the spot or turn it into a podcast and then you get massive value out of it. So message me if there's something that you want to see or hear, most likely hear from the podcast, and I can chuck it on the list and get it done. Otherwise, we have the Black Friday special that is currently going, which I've just decided to call Yesvember. And I've called it Yesvember because a lot of people talk themselves out of, literally, they can just choose to have a better life. And I got caught in this as well. We can just choose to have a better life, but we don't, because we use logic to bias the reasons that it wouldn't work and lean back into fear. Why won't it work out? Well, it's going to be the same as the other things that I've always done and this and that. The worst thing you can do is jump on a call with me and you go, man, this dude is a dick and full of shit, and you just don't sign up. That is the absolute worst case. I've not had that happen, although I don't think I've had that happen. But you can jump on a call. I'll help point you in the right direction for what program is going to be best, and you can save up to $2,000 for just signing up in Yesvember. I just want people to say yes to themselves, whether that's with me or another coach or just even by themselves, but just taking the first step, just say yes, this Yesvember. Because what's the worst case if you say no? And what is the worst case if you say yes? The worst case if you say no, you keep going on a life that maybe you don't love right now. And if you keep saying no, this is it. This is your life forever. That's the worst case situation. If you say yes, the worst case situation is maybe you lose some money, you learn a few things, and you have a bit of clarity on what you want next time to keep hitting your goals. The worst case situation if you sign up with me is going to be, I'll give you your money back because that's it. So you've learned a hell of a lot of stuff, and technically you did it for free, because I'll give you money back if you're not happy with the coaching. So yeah, that's it. Go through the website and just click on the form that is like, let's work together. Just submit an application and then I'll get back to you and figure out what program is going to be best. Or we can just hop on a call and give you that clarity there. Or you just message me and say, hey, this is exactly what I'm wanting and this is exactly what I'm needing. And then I'll just say, cool, with Black Friday or the Yesvember, this is what it would be and this is how we go about it. But otherwise, all you have to do to save up to $2,000 on coaching is literally just apply to work with me in November. And if you do sign up in this November, you just automatically have access to all of those savings. I'm only looking to take on 4 transformation clients between now and the end of the year. When I get to December, I do have some clients that are finishing up, and I'm not sure if I'm gonna just basically take clients on then or wait until January. No idea. But at the moment, I've got 4 spots available for transformation. I have more spots available for Simply Happy and Healthy, which is getting momentum and it is popping off, and I'm fucking loving it. But yeah, DM me if you have questions, or you can either just apply through the website and I'll get back to you, and you can still ask questions there. But don't put off having a good life. If you want to have a good life, you can quite literally just choose to do that. It's going to be a pain in the ass. You may go through some uncomfortable growing pains and face some uncomfortable truths, but what's the alternative? We either just sit in this life and don't do a whole heap of stuff because of the reasons that other people have given us, or we take those reasons that people have given us and we turn it into a good life, and then we get to say, big old fucking told you so, look how awesome I am now, and you're a hell of a lot happier. So yeah. Go through the website, apply to work with me. It's going to be fucking awesome. I'll change your life. If I don't, I'll give you all your money back so that you're not out of pocket. And if that doesn't sound like a fucking too good to be true deal, I don't know what will be. Any hoosies, have an amazing time. I will endeavor, big word there again. My God, I'm on point this morning. I will endeavor to do a podcast every single week, get back to the Tuesdays. I will take a break over the Christmas period from the 16th of December through to the 6th of January. Otherwise, if you need me for literally anything, message me. Have an amazing time, and I'll speak to you all soon.